This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Yes, you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I'm joined by a new voice, David. Hi, David.
Hey, Elliot. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What should people expect from David?
Oh, wow. Well, I could spoil today's topic if you like, because that is definitely something you can expect to hear a lot of from me.
Do it. Please spoil it.
So today we're going to be talking about good dogs in games.
Yes.
Which is kind of like 90% of my personality is talking about my dog, linking photos of my dog, and making people meet my dog.
Well, everybody likes dogs, so I think if that's 90% of your personality, you're probably doing all right, and... You weren't joking either, because just before this recording, you were literally walking through the mud, walking your dogs, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's actually, right now, he's really, really filthy. My boyfriend has done his best to wipe a lot of mud off his legs, but there's a lot there.
What kind of dog do you have? Let's jump into the real dog world before we jump into the virtual dog world.
Okay, that's a good idea. So, in real life, I have a beagle. His name is Toby.
Aww. I already love him.
Enormous. He's very good. He's very lovable. And in virtual life, I've got several Nintendogs that are sitting somewhere on a DS cartridge at my parents' place, who have been neglected for over a decade. but they're very good as well. They're going to be just where I left them, I assume. And I've got a lot of very good Pokemon dogs.
Oh, yeah. What's your favourite?
I think Yampa.
Oh, Yampa is a classic. Such a good choice.
Yeah, yeah. Such a good Korg.
and that little butt.
Yeah, I know. It's like they were catering to a specific audience when they designed Yampa, for sure.
Oh, definitely. And look, I think you and I are two good people to talk about good dogs in video games, because for 2 years now, at the end of the year, I like to do this little trivia thing with some of the Checkpoint On Air team. And for 2 years now, I've had a Best Dog of the Year award. Yampa was in the running last year. I don't remember who won specifically, but I do like to keep track of who the goodest dogs are in video games. So
it's a very important news.
Yes, it's crucial because, you know, I own a dog too. Well, my family owns a dog. It doesn't live with me, unfortunately, because I do not have a backyard. But I have a dog. I bought a collie called Ebony, and she's adorable and amazing.
Such a good dog.
Such a good dog. They're all good. All good dogs are good dogs, you know?
They are.
So, they really are. Let's kick this off. What is your favorite dog in any video game ever?
That is definitely such a wonderful way to start, because it's an impossible question.
Yes.
I don't think anybody alive could answer, or anybody with a soul could answer.
How do you rank?
How does one rank the dog? In thinking about today, I did come up with a little bit of a list of particular dogs that I recall loving. And I think the top one, I remember Luke talked a lot about enjoying Astral Chain. When that came out last year on Nintendo Switch. And one of the... So the crux of that game is you control these chimera creatures from another dimension. But one of these chimeras is called Beast, and is in the shape of a very, very good, monstrous dog. And the developers specifically let you pet them. There's a button to pat the dog, and that activates it. It's scent trail, but then a lot of the time it just does nothing and the dog just wags and lets you pet it. And I absolutely love Beast. That is definitely in my top video game dogs.
Beast is a good choice. Does the ability to pet the dog impact on your ranking system?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. You've got to be able to interact. Yeah. It's a must.
It's absolutely mandatory.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, like, because I've been playing a game recently called Cloudpunk, and there is a dog featured pretty prominently within that game, and he is an absolute good boy. His name is Camus, and he's the best. But it also makes me wonder, like, how far removed from the concept of dog can a dog be before it's no longer a dog? And that is a deep philosophical question that really means nothing. But the reason I bring it up is because Camus is technically an AI programmed to act and behave like a dog. Does that count as a dog?
I think it does.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about this as well, similarly. With Metroid 2, the baby Metroid that is recovered at the end, that's the kind of emotional connection that you have to an in-game dog, like the same as you would have with like the pet in Stardew Valley. Like, you just want to protect it, you want it to do well. But it's a Metroid, it's a blood-sucking evil creature. But it's your blood-sucking evil creature, you know?
Exactly.
So I think that counts as a good dog.
Yeah. I think as long as they have dog-like features, they probably count. I'm thinking of the creature from The Last Guardian now, which is some kind of weird cat dog bird hybrid thing, but yeah. I think there's a lot of behavioral similarities to a dog, so I think that counts.
I guess the main concept of a dog is the companionship and the comfort, which kind of makes, like, I guess if you expand the definition of a video game dog, there's a lot more that would come under that, which is potentially problematic. In my head, I'm just going, like, all the companions in Zelda, like, is Navi a dog?
Is Fee
a dog?
I don't think Navi can be a dog.
Wolf Link is definitely a dog. That is another good dog.
I mean, sure. It's got wolf in the name. I think that, that solidifies it right there.
And you can press a button to bark, so that's pretty good as well.
I think if Navi was a dog, she'd definitely be, like a chihuahua or something, you know?
Yeah, one of the really, really yappy ones.
Really frustrating and annoying and loud.
but still, begrudgingly, is a good dog because they're all good dogs.
All dogs are good dogs. There are no bad dogs.
Some dogs are gooder than others.
One of my favourite dogs is actually a character called Dog, who is from the Half-Life games. And they are just this, like, 10-foot robot thing that doesn't even resemble a dog, but you can still play fetch with it using your gravity gun. And that's a very good dog.
That's such a good dog. I love a good robot dog.
All of these examples I keep thinking of are robot dogs. I wonder if I have some kind of...
You've got a type.
I've got a type. Well, here's a question for you, because on the subject of Cloudpunk, which is the most recent dog-centric game I've been playing, the dog within it is a border collie. And because I own a border collie, there's almost like a stronger bond there. Do you have that same... Have you felt that within the game?
Yeah. So I was thinking back to the classic Nintendogs, in which they're always puppies. And when I first got that, which would have been... I was in high school, but my family dog was a Labrador, and one of the best dogs, of the goodest dogs, is up there in the goodness scale. And so I, of course, got the Labrador version of it, and it was so nice to play through that game just on and off for years and years, just going through and checking in on my puppy Labrador as our real-life Labrador grew older and older. And she had a lot of personality, and she was gorgeous, and she did eventually pass away. But I still have this puppy that is based on her, which is sort of... It's just been really nice to have, like, that kind of connection to the real world, to a real dog, as well in my robot dog.
That's really sweet. It's like... they live on throughout the connection to the video game.
Yeah, it's sweet, or it's sad, or it's a little bit of both.
It can be both. That's okay. It just depends on how you look at things, I suppose. But let's try to keep it happy for now, maybe.
Yeah, I did also want to mention that the doesthedogdie.com website now has a video games. It's got a video game section, and it also now lets you add your own triggers as a search tag. So if you are more worried about a cat dying, or if there's spiders in the game, you can search that as well, which is really cool. because I prefer it when I just have nice stories about the dogs in my dog media.
Is this a website you've actually used as far as, oh no, I need to know if this dog's okay, I can't play this game if something goes wrong?
I haven't used it with games yet, because normally game dogs are either the reason I'm getting it and it's going to be wholesome, or they're a lovely surprise. Like the dogs in Skyrim, I didn't know there was going to be dogs before I played that.
Mm.
And then there are very, very good dogs. There's that dog Miko that you find as part of a quest. It's missing its owners, and then it follows you around, and then it can become your companion. And that was such a lovely surprise playing Skyrim, to find a surprise happy dog.
I don't even remember Miko, I'm going to be totally honest. I feel like a bad dog lover now.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's just another excuse to reinstall Skyrim and get lost in another 1,000 hours of mods.
Well, I feel like Bethesda quite likes their open-world dogs, because obviously dog meat is a staple of the Fallout series as well. It's that adventuring with your kind of companion makes for some pretty fun and just, I guess, there's extra stakes to every battle if you know your dog can be downed and you hear that little whimper.
Yeah, it's always a constant pressure thinking about, unless of course you go into the console and make your dog invincible, about the potential loss of your companion. I guess it's kind of instant stakes, which is another thing that Bethesda likes to do as well, is have a really easy way to get that emotional reaction from a player.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is no surprise, really, that people connect with animals and dogs in a way that sometimes they don't with other humans. I think there's just something innate about us that we want to take care of the dog, and we know that the dog is always innocent and has, you know, the best, your best interest at heart. Like, they're not evil. No dogs are evil.
No dogs at all.
Maybe the Resident Evil dogs are evil.
Oh, they're just misunderstood.
Sure.
They just want treats, and sometimes people can be treats, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think you can go through that game without killing the dogs.
That's the rough bit as well. I'm playing through Borderlands 3 with one of my mates, and there's so many radioactive evil dogs that you have to kill for quests or collect parts from.
Like skags, or are they actual? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the skags. I forgot the name, sorry.
No, that's okay.
they're skags.
Because they're definitely dog-like creatures, so I think this is valid.
They bark, and they're in packs, and some of them are really cool colours, and it's like, I don't want to have to shoot these things, but I want to get the points, and they're all
the
coming
loot.
At me. And, yeah, I crave the loot. It's like, it's the worst kind of personal conflict of how do I mash my video game loot brain with my I love dogs brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's torture.
Why have Nintendo not made a Nintendogs for the Switch?
Homophobia. Probably my
that
first
must be it.
Answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. I know there was a Nintendogs for the 3DS, but they moved the control screen. So instead of touching them on the touch screen, you touched like weird shadows of the animals to pat them, which is just a bit odd. Yeah. I didn't play it because I saw screenshots of that and went, well, that's not for me. But then, of course, they did introduce the Pokemon and Me and other features in the 3DS Pokemon games that let you specifically pat your Charizard, which is kind of a dog. That's sort of like their excuse for Nintendogs, I guess, now.
Charizard is a dog, or your Pokemon can be dogs?
I think your Pokemon can be dogs.
Yeah,
like, there's specific
some
Pokemon
more than
dogs,
others.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Mime's a dog.
Well, I don't know. Mr. Mime freaks me out a little bit.
When you see him at Midsummer, he's in his dog getup. He loves it.
Oh, no.
We have no choice but to stan Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime.
As a dog.
Yeah, and then in the kind of most recent Pokemon games, you can literally set up a kind of camp, and all your Pokemon come out of their Pokeballs, and you can play fetch with them, and kind of there's like a little feather you can jingle around so that they can play with it. It feels very much like a small Nintendog scene.
Yeah, and so does that mean that all of the ones that are available in Sword and Shield are now kind of officially dogs?
Well, by our previous definition of anything that is kind of loyal and adorable, or whatever we said earlier, then I guess so, yeah. Wow. There's an element of dog to a lot of the kind of Pokemon out there. I just don't know that I can see, like, a Machoke being a dog, you know?
That's... I'm not going to make any further comments on that, and you're just going to have to use your imagination with that image, because yeah. I feel uncomfortable sexualizing Pokemon.
But if you were to sexualize a Pokemon...
Well, it's got to be Machoke.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... or Incineroar.
Oh, God.
Is Incineroar a dog? No, it's like a lion, isn't it?
It's, yeah, some
it's
kind
of... more of a cat.
It's a cat thing. But I guess it can be a cat and a dog, by our logic.
Sure. Are all cats dogs, but not all dogs are cats?
Wait, what?
Don't worry, I wouldn't take that question seriously if I were you.
It's like, that is some deep, deep thinking there, Elliot.
I like asking questions that sound deep, but when you think about it, they mean nothing.
I appreciate that, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Do you have a particularly, a favourite, I guess, favourite pet that you like playing with in a game?
Oh, what, that's not a dog?
Or that could be dog or dog adjacent, just some kind of companion animal is the neutral term I'm going to use.
Mm. Oh, that's such a challenging question. Nothing immediately springs to mind because I like having companions in games. But
it just sort of makes everything better.
Dogs seem to be the standard, don't they? Like,
yeah. And even the dogs that are meant to be people dogs, like the anthropomorphic dogs in...
What are the people dogs?
So many games, like all of the people dogs. I recently played through a little indie game, Baron Fur is Gonna Fly. It's a little party game where you fly around in planes and it's like World War One era. But they've got all the pilots in that game are anthropomorphic animals, and the main one is called Baron von Fluffbutt. and so, of course, I play as him every single time I play that.
Naturally.
And he's got his own theme song that is called His Name is Fluffy Butt, and it's like this old war ditty just about this dog's fluffy butt. And it sort of makes... If they'd made it a person, it would have been like a bit weird. But because it's a dog, you're like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to fly in a plane and shoot down my friends and
sing
about his fluffy butt.
Is that a pun on, like, dog fighting?
Oh my gosh, yep.
Is that the whole point of that game?
I think it is. And
did you just realize that?
Yeah, I'm just going to go and rewrite my article about that one.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Wait, are all the characters... I haven't played this game. Are all of them dog-like creatures?
They're all different animals. There's a dog, there's a cat, there's a goose, I think there's a bear, and they've all got kind of like World War One pilot personalities. So he's like a baron, and then there's another one that's like I think the goose is wearing one of those pilot caps, and the bear has a monocle and
goggles.
All that good stuff. Because a dog in a hat and goggles is also a very, very, very good dog.
Oh yeah,
I think accessories do make the dog, particularly in a video game.
Like a neckerchief or a pair of goggles, I can definitely see dogs rocking that kind of attire.
Yeah, and it makes you want to be around the dog a bit more, like the dog in Dream Daddy. The daddy that has that really, really cute dog is just like all the other daddies are wonderful, but if you date that daddy, you get to spend time with that dog.
Yeah, it's a big bonus, isn't it? Maybe that's part of the reason behind the upcoming game Best Friend Forever, because they're all dateable and they all have dogs. It's like an even playing field.
I'm so excited for that. I'm going to take time off work and play that, I think.
I only just recently found out the game was delayed for a second time, and it's now not coming out until June.
Oh, that's okay. That's just enough time for them to make sure all of the neckerchiefs are fastened to the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we can survive till then.
Have you ever frequented the Twitter account Can You Pet the Dog, I think it's called, or Pet the Dog?
I haven't.
It's just basically a an archive of all the different video games that allow you to pet the dog or not. And it'll basically be like, oh, here's this game, and yes, you can pet the dog, or no, you can't pet the dog, and it'll kind of award points and show animations and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. Guess what I'm doing tonight?
It's worth a follow. There's a lot of great information that can be sourced from, you know, the Pet the Dog Twitter account. Because
it sounds like a very important resource.
It is, because if we circle back to, like, one of the first things we mentioned in this conversation, petting the dog is very advantageous to whether or not, how, like, affectionate we become towards the dog.
Oh, yes, we must have the interaction.
If there's no interaction, are they really a dog?
Or is it just an animation or a texture, you know?
Mm. These are the questions that keep me up at night.
And it's such a compulsion to, if you can pet the dog, you have to do it. Like, you can't, every time you walk past the dog, if it's in one place or if it's following you, mm-hmm. you have to regularly check in with the dog. I don't know what that compulsion is, even though, like, knowing that it's a virtual pet, even playing through Stardew Valley and the dog you have in that, every time I've played that, no matter what kind of farm I'm running or what character I have, I pick the dog and I make sure the first thing I do in the morning is find it, pat it, and then fill its bowl full of water.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a compulsion, as like a ritual.
And then you go and check on your chickens.
Yeah.
Which are like feathered, two-legged dogs.
And the pigs, which are like kind of like my dog in real life, but loud and filthy.
And then you've got your milk-producing dogs.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
No,
I don't like the dog milk. It's unsettling.
Mm.
Dog milk implies dog cheese, and that's not somewhere I want to go.
Dog cheese.
Yep.
That sounds so interesting.
It's a new phrase. I think we've just invented it now, and I am filled with regret.
Yeah, okay, maybe it's not best to assign a dog to any single possible animal companion within a video game.
Maybe not everything should be dogs.
No, that's how we get dog cheese. Anyway, David, this is probably a good place to leave this conversation. I know it's a weird place to leave the conversation, but also a really fun place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining me to talk all about good dogs in video games.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Maybe we have to revisit this conversation, because I feel like there's just so much we are yet to uncover in the world of dogs and video games.
We've definitely only scratched the surface, for sure.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys next week for another awesome episode of Checkpoint Intimates.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.